So it's great that you're here this morning. What I want to do today is I want to continue our focus on prayer by looking at a very, very powerful passage of Scripture where Jesus gives us some helpful insights concerning prayer. So if you have a Bible this morning, I want to encourage you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 11. So go to your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third gospel. We're going to go to chapter 11, okay? I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, you have a couple other options. You have a Bible in the pew rack in front of you, or you can direct your attention above me. We'll put all the words on the screen so that you can follow along with us, okay? So what we're going to do today is look at these words from Jesus where he gives us two powerful insights concerning prayer. Two powerful insights concerning prayer, okay? And the first insight, we're going to pick it up in verse 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I just ask that that people will have a greater understanding of prayer through this conversation this morning, through the time that we spend in your word. And Father, I pray that this message would somehow give glory unto you, Father. We just thank you that we can be here today, and we were so thankful for your word that gives us a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Verse 1. Is everybody ready? Say, I'm ready. All right. We're all ready. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. Just one thought. I'm not going to comment many times, but I do want to make one comment. If Jesus, being the Son of God, needed to pray, how many people know we as humans need to pray? Amen? It's important. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Will you teach us? And then Jesus says, this is how you should pray. And what he's going to give us is he's going to give us what we call what? The Lord's Prayer. By the way, there's a different rendition of this in Matthew's Gospel. I think it's chapter 6. But here's this one's actually shorter. It's 5 petitions. Here's how we should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food that we need. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Father, do not lead us into temptation. So what we have in these few verses, I think it's the first 4 verses, Jesus is simply giving us, and I want you to hear me very carefully, he's giving us a model to follow, okay? So here's kind of my history in church life. As I grew up primarily in Pentecostal churches, I grew up for a lot of years in Assembly of God churches, and a lot of those churches that I attended, we didn't pray the Lord's Prayer as we did this morning here. I found out that that's much more common in mainline denominations, and I have grown fond of praying the Lord's Prayer together. But I do want to say this. We need to be careful that it's not just words where it becomes just words that we pray without thinking. Because what Jesus gave us here in the Lord's Prayer is he gave us a model to follow. Because here's what happens. A lot of people say, well, I really don't know how to pray, so as a result, I don't pray. And Jesus is saying, here, I want to give you a model. So when you go into your quiet time, when you go into your prayer time, this is a great model to follow as you pray. And what Jesus does is he gives us 5 different requests, okay, or 5 different things that we can ask for in prayer. Let's just go through these real quick. I'm going to take less than a minute on each one. The first way we start in prayer is saying, Father, may your name be kept holy. What does that mean? Well, it means, God, help me to keep you first. Help me to keep you first, Lord. May you be at the center of my life. May you be supreme. May you be ultimate in my life. I don't know about you, but I need to pray that every single day. Here's why. Because I've discovered that there's always something or someone that wants to contend for first place in my life. It could be a hobby. It could be sports. It could be this. It could be my job. It could be money. It could be 1,000 different things that are contending for first place in my life. And a great place to start is saying, Lord, will you stay holy? May you stay first. May you stay at the center of my life today. As I begin, God, I want you to be at the middle. And here's why. There's only one person that won't ever let you down. There's only one person who's good to his word all the time. All those other things that can come at the center of our life, sooner or later they may disappoint us. They may break our hearts. They may not come through the way we thought they would come through. But it's when we say, God, please, I want you to be first. I want you to be at the center. You will never be disappointed. Does it mean it's always going to be easy? No, but you'll never be disappointed when you say, God, my rock will be you. You will be first. You will be at the center. Then he says, may your kingdom come. That's where we're asking God, will you set up your rule? Will you set up your reign in my heart? God, I want to live according to your principles, your ways, your values. I want to live according to your command. God, I want your kingdom to be established in my life. I don't want the kingdom of this world to creep into my life. I want your kingdom to be on my heart, in my life. Amen? How many people know there's a big difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world? Yay or nay? Yay, there's a big difference. Totally different values, totally different priorities. Lord, I'm saying, God, may your kingdom, may your priorities come into my life. God, I want you at the center. I don't want what the world has to offer. I want what you have to offer because it's good all the time, okay? Then I love, by the way, I say this about everyone, but I love this one a lot too. It says, Lord, give us each day the food that we need. I like the different translation from Matthew better, where Matthew, Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Okay, what does that mean? That means simply this, give us what we need for today. How many people know that's a great way to start your day? Everybody get excited and say, you betcha. What a great way to say, Lord, I'm going into a new day. God, will you give me what I need for today? For some people, it may be food. So for some people, it may be finances. For some people, it may be wisdom. For some people, it may be courage. Here's the deal. God knows what's going to happen in your day. And we start the day and we say, Lord, give me what I need for today. God, I'm going to need discernment when I talk to this person. I'm going to need wisdom when I talk to this person. God, I'm going to need courage to stand up in the middle of the battle today. God, will you give me what I need for today? Because you know all things. Then number three, he says, and Lord, forgive us of our sins and forgive those who sin against us. And what we see here is that sin is both what? Vertical, or forgiveness is two things. It's vertical and it's horizontal. First, it's vertical in the sense that how many people know that only God through Jesus Christ can forgive us of our sins? Amen? We can't forgive ourselves. There's no work that we can do to earn God's favor. It's only through Jesus Christ that there's forgiveness of sin. And that's what it is. It's first of all, it's vertical, but it's also horizontal, meaning that if we truly understand what we have, the forgiveness, the beauty of our forgiveness from our Father, if we truly have a revelation of that, you know what's going to happen is we're going to be quick to forgive those who do wrong to us in our life. Are you hearing me? You know, it's really an oxymoron for a Christian to say, well, God, you have forgiven me so much, now I'm going to not forgive other people. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We have been forgiven when we were beggars, when we were in the darkness, when we were far away from God. God, through Jesus Christ, forgave us. Now when we experience where that tension is in our life, we need to be willing to forgive other people. I like to think of it this way. Freely I have received, freely I am to do what? Give. See, folks, that's the life of the kingdom. You have been forgiven all of your sins. You have been declared righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are accepted by God. Now, when people do you wrong, you need to be able to give what you have received. It's not always going to be easy, but God will give you what you need for today. You've seen how this all pulls together. Is everybody with me? Say, yeah. Yes. Last request, Lord, don't let us yield to temptation. How many people know temptation is going to be a part of life? Has anybody been tempted this week? One person. Wow. The rest of you just had a great week, didn't you? How many were tempted this week? How many were tempted this morning? Okay. Lord, I was tempted with those don't. No, I'm only kidding. But tempted. And what he's saying here is we are to pray for protection, that God would keep us during the seasons of temptation, that we won't have to stumble, we won't have to fall. Lord, lead us not, help us not to yield to that temptation. Okay? So I just wanted to briefly touch on this because that's the model. I want to encourage you, if you're struggling in your prayer life, do this, please do this week. Take this model into your prayer closet and begin to allow it to come alive. God, be first today. God, give me what I need for today. God, help me to forgive other people today. Just begin to talk to God like you would talk to a good friend. Begin to just put this model, and let's take it from just being something we recite on Sunday morning to our model how to pray each and every day. Is everybody with me? Say, you betcha. Okay. So the second insight, that's insight number one. Second insight is this, and it comes in the form of a story. This is where I want to base most of our time this morning, this story. By the way, I had a really powerful moment last Sunday morning when I walked into the house after church. Grant gave me some feedback on how to preach. And you know what? I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm saying it that what he said, I was like, wow, dude, you get it. He said, Dad, if I were to preach, and I didn't even ask him to say anything. He just said on his own, he said, Dad, if I were to preach, you know what I would do? I'd say, what would you do, Grant? He said, I would tell more stories. How many people like stories? How many people know Jesus was a great, great storyteller? If you read the Gospels, that when Jesus preached or he spoke with the people, it was often in the form of a story. And I thought, yeah, I need to be more like Jesus, don't I, Grant? Tell stories, okay? Check it out. I think it's verse 5. Then teaching them more about prayer. Everybody say these three, four words together. He used this story. Here's the story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. I want everybody to stop right now. This is twice I've said this today, so I promise this will be the last time. Think of a friend. Think of a friend that you have. Think of one of your friends. Does everybody have a picture or name in mind? Say, go on, we can move on. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow, this is an odd request, 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. By the way, how many people have friends like that? How many people need more friends like that? Don't bother me. Okay? The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. Hey, guy, I can't help you. But I tell you this, Jesus says, though he won't do it for friendship's sake. I love that. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough. I love that. Go away. We're not coming out. He just keeps knocking. Can you imagine that? It's midnight. You're in bed. This person just refuses to quit knocking. They're persistent. They keep knocking long enough. He will get up. And he will give you whatever you need. Why? Because of your shameless persistence. I love that. Shameless persistence. So what I want you to see in this story is the key to the man receiving what he needed was what? Persistence. That was the key. It wasn't because they were friends. Jesus made that very clear. The reason why this guy broke down is because this guy was shamelessly persistent. So what does that word persistent mean? It means to continue on a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. I love that. You continue on a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Persistent means, you know what? I'm not going to give up. God, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep praying. God, it's big. It's bigger than me. God, it will take a miracle. But God, you know what? I'm not going to give up. By the way, is anybody praying any prayers like this in your life right now? God, I'm not going to give up. God, I'm not. My prayers, Lord, I'm not giving up till this church has a breakthrough. God, I'm not giving up. We need a breakthrough. God, I'm not going to give up. Even if it kills me, I'm going down swinging. I'm not going to give up. I love this quote on persistence. It's on the screen. I think it's kind of humorous. The writer says, if you do the same thing over and over, you'll surely get a different result. Everybody say it, eventually. If you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over, surely you'll get different results. And I love that last word, eventually. Eventually. By the way, how many married men know what I'm talking about? You don't want to raise your hand, do you? You're afraid. How many parents know what I'm talking about? About 8 years ago, we were a great family. We had Heather and I and two boys, elementary age boys. I was happy, man. I was in the zone. We didn't have a single pet. Does anybody know where I'm going here? For some odd reason, Heather would load up the car because she was always looking for things to keep the boys occupied. You remember those stages? Take them to playgrounds, take them to the pool. One of her stops was Angel's Pet World up there in Hudson. You know what I'm talking about? I don't like that place. You can. And they would come home and they would say, Dad, you wouldn't believe how cute this little dog is. I said, absolutely not. Dogs pee on carpets. Dogs require walks. How many people know dogs require walks? She would keep taking them up there. She would join in. Oh, this would be so good for the boys. It would be good for their emotional health. No, she never said that, but begging. Oh, and here it was. They would say, Dad, I promise you will never, never have to take the dog for a walk. I want to let you know I have two liars, sinners, that live in my house. Well, they got the best of me because they were shamelessly persistent. They came home with little Ruby, Karen Terrier, beautiful dog. I want to let you know that promise lasted maybe a week. I think I've added about 2 years to my life with all the dogs. It's been good for my heart to get out, get the blood pumping. We got a dog that only goes potty on a walk. And usually that first walk request is at about 6 a.m. in the morning. My boys have never, ever, ever, ever taken her out. Heather's taken her out on Father's Day. And maybe my birthday. So 2 days out of 365. I'm not a big fan of when it's 20 below zero on those winter mornings, bundling up and taking that dog for a walk. I have made it clear, by the way, very clear, this is the last dog in my lifetime. Be it tomorrow. Or be it, when people tell me dogs live to 17, I'm like, no, Lord, not this dog, no. I'm sorry, all you dog lovers. Forgive me, okay? But why do we have a dog? Because of shameless persistence. I mean, if you keep asking, eventually, you're going to get different results. So back to the story of the Bible this morning. What is it that Jesus wants us to learn? I believe what he wants us to learn, and by the way, this has been a theme throughout the readings in the book this week that we're on this journey together with, and that is that we need to continue. Everybody say continue. We need to continue to pray. In spite of difficulty, in spite of opposition, in spite of times when we don't think anything's happened, we don't see anything happening, we feel like our prayers are hitting the roof and bouncing back down. Has anybody ever prayed those prayers? Like, God, are you even out there? In spite of all those things, we need to what? Persistent. persistently, shamelessly come before God in heaven, and we need to pray. By the way, Mark Batterson says this, we need to pray A-L-A-T prayers. Can anybody tell me what that means? You guys are reading. We need to pray prayers as long, everybody say long, a month, 6 months, 15 years. Lord, please not 15 years, but as long as it takes. We need to be coming before the Lord with our prayers. By the way, Jesus cements this thought. Look at the next couple verses. He concludes by saying, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be what? Open. In the Greek, these three words, ask, seek, and knock, are what you would call the present imperative verbs. In other words, they aren't something that we do only one time. Jesus is saying these are actions that are to be repeated over and over and over again. We are to keep asking. We are to keep seeking. We are to keep what? Knocking. With that in mind, let me ask you a question. Close your Bible. Look at me in the eye. Here's a question for you. What are you praying for? I'm not saying by any measure we treat God like he's Santa Claus. I'm saying we're praying for things that would bring glory to his name. We're praying things that are according to his will. That's what I'm talking about. What are you praying for? Is it something so important that you're willing to keep on asking? That you're willing to keep on seeking? That you're willing to keep on knocking? I want to read in closing this morning a beautiful story in the book. It was from day 19 called Memorial Prayers. Let me just read a page to you. It says, I recently met with a pastor friend who is a circle maker. I met very few people who pray with more intensity, more specifically, more consistently. Over lunch, Wayne told me a story about his grandmother, and it was evident that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Intercession is a part of their spiritual DNA as a family. Listen closely. Wayne's grandmother raised 12 children while managing their household. After every meal she prepared, she would go to her bedroom and she would pray three times a day. Three times a day, the children could hear her interceding for them by name. When she was on her deathbed at the age of 91, the entire family gathered at the family home. She invited them into the bedroom where she prayed three times every day. Then she prophetically declared to her 12 children, I'm going to die, but the power of my prayers will come to pass in each of your lives. Her predominant prayer was this, that every member of her family would surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How many people know that's a godly prayer? Every one of my kids, Lord, I pray right now, will surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ three times a day. At that time, six children were following Christ. Six were not. That was 15 years ago. The tally now is 10 yes and 2 no, or maybe I should say in faith, not yet. Wayne shared with me how the 10th, yes, the oldest child came to Christ. Listen to this. Personal letter from this guy. My grandmother's oldest son is named Johnny. A month ago, his next door neighbor had a dream. In the middle of the night about Johnny, the neighbor felt compelled to invite him to church. And he accepted the invitation that Sunday, which happened to be Palm Sunday. When he walked into that church, all he could hear was his mother's voice calling out his name in prayer. The pastor asked if anybody wanted to put their faith in Jesus Christ, and Johnny raised his 92-year-old hand, and then he was baptized the next week on Easter Sunday. Can you say persistent? I love this. I did the math. Wayne's grandmother passed away when Johnny was 77 years old. From the day he was born until the day he died, she prayed for him 3 times a day. If you add it up, that's 84,315 prayers. I don't think I've ever prayed for anyone more than maybe 10 times. Persistent prayers. When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, why were you so big on persistence? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. We're in a spiritual battle. There are enemies. And we're praying. We're in a battle. We're on the offense. We're praying through. There's so many things that can come, so many theological arguments. But the fact is, there's times where you just got to grab hold. And you got to say, God, I'm not going to stop praying until something happens. Because, God, it matters that much. It matters that my faith, that my kids come to faith in Christ and they serve you. That matters. Eternity matters. So I'm willing to invest this side of eternity to pray for my kids, to pray for my spouse, to pray for my neighbors, to pray for people I might have disagreement with in my relationships. God, I'm willing. God, you can count on me. God, I'm one of your warriors. I'll continue to pray. So let me ask you this today. What are you praying for? I'm praying for a breakthrough in this church. I'm praying for Grant and Nolan to follow Jesus. When they leave home, God, put godly people in their path. God, help them to find a church in Chicago. Shouldn't be too hard. I'm praying for my kids. Can we bow our heads right now? You know, with some of these requests, a lot of these requests, eternity is at stake. I pray for our church to have a breakthrough because there's people in River Falls that need to come to Christ. Amen? Can you hear me? I pray for my kids because God has raised me to be the overseer of them and to pray for them. So can we do this together as a church family right now? Pray for why don't we just pray for our children right now? Right now, let's take this time to pray for our kids. Father, right now, I lift up our children to you. I call them by name. You begin right now. You can do it out loud. You can do it inside. Lord, I lift up Nolan. I lift up Grant. I lift up the kids of this church. You call on God right now for the kids of your family. And Father, I pray for my children. I pray, Lord, that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They will make Jesus the Lord of their life and that they will spend their life following after you with all of their hearts. I pray that my boys will be kingdom. Lord, they'll be a part of your kingdom, that they'll be world changers, I pray, Father. I pray that you would keep them from evil. I pray that you would keep them from harm. God, I pray that they will have kingdom priorities, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. God, I pray that you'll reveal yourself to them. I pray as Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, give them the spirit of wisdom, give them the spirit of revelation so that they might know you better. And Lord, we pray for our kids. We don't allow things just to happen by chance and see how everything ends up. God, we get on the offense and we begin to pray and believe that our prayers make a difference and that you work through prayers. And God, we want to invest a big part of our life to be people that will seek after you with all of our heart and pray, 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 pray for our neighbors, pray for those who are far away from you, that they would come to know you. So Lord, I pray that we would not grow weary, But God, I pray that we'll engage and we will be shamelessly persistent, that we'll get after you, believing, God, that you work through prayer. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Parents, please look at me. Grandparents, look at me. Pray, pray, pray for your children. Don't ever give up. They may be so far away from you, the prodigal son, they may be living in the pig pen, but you do what? You pray, you pray, you pray, and God honors prayers. Amen? And I just want to encourage you right now. This is my challenge to you. We have 4 weeks left on the journey that we're on. I want to challenge you for the next 4 times 7 is what? 28 days. I want to challenge you to bring your kids to God every single day for the next 28 days. Are you ready for that? Say, God, I want to lift up my kids. I want to lift up my kids to you. God, I want them to serve you. I want them to find a local church where they're making a difference. God, I want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I want them to be more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, we just have the team come up. We're going to close today a little different. We are actually going to do another song. We're going to do There's Power in the Name of Jesus. How many people know that when we pray to God the Father, we pray to God, but we pray what? In Jesus' name. And I want to let you know, when you pray to God the Father and you pray to him in Jesus' name, there's what? Everybody say power. Everybody say power. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand to your feet this morning. We're going to make this our closing song. I'll come up and close after we sing this song, but we're going to sing There's Power in the Name of Jesus, okay? Everybody join together. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that there's power in your name. There's power to save from sin. There's power to deliver us. There's power to bring healing. Lord, today I just want to lift up Lynn Osterbauer, who is in a physical battle for her life. And Lord, I just thank you that there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus for healing in Lynn's body. That you would touch her lungs, her respiratory system. Lord, even today as we're gathered, agreeing together, we just pray for healing in Lynn's body. Just be with the Osterbauers in this battle, this fight that's impacting their entire family. Lord, just be with them, strengthen them. Give them today their daily bread. Give them as a family what they need for today. Give them the strength, the grace, bring healing to their bodies. And we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for the greatest gift of all, that there's power for sin to be broken in our lives through the blood of Jesus. And I pray for that person that may be here this morning who has never said yes to Jesus as the Savior of their life, the one who forgives sins. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to them and that you'll reveal your power to them to save them and God, to do a new work in their hearts. God, be at work in this church. God, this is zero about me. It's 100% about you. God, do God-sized things in this house, I pray, in the life of your people in this church. God, may our faith continue to grow, to explode. God, may we just be so in love with Jesus, I pray. Help us, Lord, in this house, we pray. And everyone said, amen.